You're listening to Radio X, broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington. We're just a few minutes away, we anticipate, from a roundtable discussion with Ward Churchill. We're going to play a little Nina Simone for you, and then back to a little more pre-recorded audio from Ward Churchill.
Of all the evil that will have to end.
Yes, we are Lord, yes, we are Lord. Don't give up, don't leave.
All right.
It will be in.
All right.
Well, all right.
Some folks are gonna get the notion.
Also, when it was first made a matter of public awareness that there was something going on in the Bureau called COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. Nobody knew what it meant at the time. People sort of trying to work it out as an anagram. What is this? The stuff that they're talking about in here looks kind of ugly, but what is this COINTELPRO thing? Well, it turns out it's usually referred to as a cryptonym because it was a secret program and it was a contraction of the words counterintelligence program. Now the FBI actually has a mandate to engage in counterintelligence activity, but that's not secret. The particular operations are conducted in a manner of secrecy, but the fact that there is a counterintelligence division in the FBI is no secret. It's actually got a budget allocation. It's relatively above board in that sense. It's perfectly well known that that exists. But that, in its mandate, is targeted on the agents of hostile foreign powers. Or in a case of a few like Israel, supposedly friendly foreign powers. You've got to kind of keep track of those guys, too, or they'll steal your nuclear secrets if you're not busy slipping them to them anyway. So COINTELPRO, in its secrecy, was indeed a counterintelligence program, but it was a counterintelligence program of a different sort. This is the one that was mounted by the Bureau as a matter of systemic, centralized, controlled activity to suppress the activities, politically speaking, of American citizens themselves. And the reason it was secret is because that was flatly illegal, constitutionally prohibited activity. You see, when you're targeting saboteurs, spies, espionage rings and so forth, the agents of hostile foreign powers, constitutional protections do not apply. The rule of the game in counterintelligence hasn't got a thing to do with investigation, providing evidence, bringing about a prosecution, and a sentence in prison as a punishment. It has to do with neutralizing the target. And you neutralize the target by whatever means, up to and including outright assassination, which has been done a number of times. No holds barred, bared knuckle kind of activity. You eliminate your opponent, you cause them to stop doing by whatever means are available and necessary to you, you cause them to stop doing whatever it is they're doing that made them the target of the counterintelligence probe in the first place. You understand? Well, if it's a Russian spy, it's not exactly like they're going to file an appeal. It's not exactly like they're going to file a suit either. It's sort of like the rules of the game. But now when you're dealing with U.S. citizens, supposedly your government cannot simply have your brains blown out because you're engaged in what it considers a politically objectionable activity. Political liberty, the advocacy of political ideals, even though they may be contrary to those of those in power, even though it may even be reprehensible to the general population, is a constitutionally protected activity. And the nature of COINTELPRO is that it was directed at suppressing anything outside the very narrowly drawn parameters of acceptability embraced by the director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover. And as it turns out, this was not an especially new situation. The very fact of its duration and the fact that the FBI had all along apportioned its resources in a way comparable to that revealed at Media Pennsylvania indicated that the FBI had a function overall very different from law enforcement per se, or anything that could be arguably included under the overall rubric of law enforcement. Ultimately, it was an entity created right from the get-go, and I'm going to explain in a minute, even from before its get-go, to take the order of business as it encountered, business as usual, and preserve it. That the status quo, the structuration, socially, economically, and politically in the United States is such that there is a place assigned to everyone, at least by virtue of their membership in some rather arbitrarily defined groups. Groups like, oh, I don't know, blacks, Asians, South European immigrants, women, homosexuals, American Indians, Appalachian miners, and other poor whites. Name a group, there's a place. And the function of the Bureau is to make sure you stay in your place. And for people whose place is relatively privileged, that's a good thing. And that's a created bureau. For those who are not so privileged, and depending on the degree of lack of privilege, it becomes less and less a good thing. People who are not privileged in this social structuration tend, and the more the absence of privilege is available, the harder they tend, or the more they tend, to attempt to change the social structure and circumstance to better their lot. And that's what the FBI was created and developed and perfected to prevent. Very different from what Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. purported to be doing on TV. Now, remember, as we go through this, that the place assigned to American Indians is to serve as resource colonies internal to the United States so that there can be extraction of strategic and commercially valuable minerals and other things fueling the American economy while existing in lives conveniently out of sight and mind of polite society as they quietly, or even not so quietly, there's not going to be anyone around to hear them, starve to death or freeze to death in the localities which they were consigned during the formation of the reservation period. That's the place. And that's what it was, the American Indian Movement, Leonard Peltier, the resistors on Pine Ridge, and others elsewhere were bent upon changing.
not a hunter, but I'm told that in places like in the Arctic, where indigenous people sometimes might hunt a wolf, they'll take a double-edged blade and they'll put blood on the blade and they'll melt the ice and stick the handle in the ice so that only the blade is protruding, and that a wolf will smell the blood and wants to eat, and it'll come and lick the blade trying to eat. And what happens is when the wolf licks the blade, of course, he cuts his tongue and he bleeds, and he thinks he's really having a good thing. He drinks and he licks, and of course he's drinking his own blood and he kills himself. That's what the imperialists did to us with crack cocaine. You got these young brothers out there thinking that they're getting something that they're going to make a living with. They're getting something they can buy a car, like the white people have cars. Why can't I have a car? They're getting something so they can get a piece of gold. The white people have gold. Why can't I have gold? They're getting something to get a house. The white people have a house. Why can't I have a house? And they actually think that it's something that's bringing resources to them, but they're killing themselves just like the wolf who's licking the blade, and they're slowly dying without knowing. That's what's happening to the community. You with me on that? That's exactly and precisely what happens to the community. And instead of blaming the hunter who put the damn handle and the blade in the ice for the wolf, that what happens is the wolf gets blamed for trying to live. That's what happens in our community. You don't blame the person, the victim, you blame the oppressor. Imperialism, white power is the enemy. Was the enemy when it first came to Africa, snatched up the first African, brought us here against our will, is the enemy today. That's the thing that we have to understand.
You're listening to Radio X, downtown Seattle, radio-x.org on the World Wide Web. Just a few minutes away from starting, and we're going to get a little treat from Jim Page as a precursor to Ward's discussion. So please stay tuned.
Okay, so I guess we're kind of getting ready here. My name is Jim Page, and I just came up from Portland with Ward. We were at the Breaking the Chains conference over the weekend, and I thought I would do one song to start things off with, a song that kind of makes sense to me anyway. It's called Old Habits. I'd rather be some rank stranger with my hand up for spare change, living on the margins of disgrace, than to be sitting up high in the lap of artificial luxury, knowing that sooner or later it's gonna blow up in my face. I'd rather be living by my wits than beholden to a boss, parasite relationships, thieves of any kind, the simplest ideas are the hardest to get across. Oh, but if you make it, you might get to know your own mind. Old habits. Old habits. They're always on your shoulder. Old habits. And they get harder when you get older. When I was a little boy, my mama used to read me stories. Princess in the castle with her long golden hair. Now I see boardrooms and armies of accountants, and I know there are no fairy tale people up there. You got your saviors with their magical devices, angels in your pocket for when the going gets rough. I see real estate evangelists selling paradise. When it comes down to money, you know some people can never get enough. Old habits. Old habits. They play them like a trump card. Old habits. And they die so hard. 10,000 slaves to build the pyramids of Egypt. All their lives to labor, stone by stone. Now we hold these monuments to be self-evident, still paying homage to the Pharaoh's throne. Invisible our most powerful confinements, more indestructible than any walls of steel. Trading in the pillory for more civilized refinements. Just because you can't see it doesn't make it any less real. Old habits. Old habits. Like a ball and chain. Old habits. Sometimes it seems like that's all that remains. I'd rather be a foreigner with no flag of allegiance than to be an enemy of some stranger's best friend. Unraveling these sly manipulations. Lessons to be learned before the ship comes in. Now I know my avenues and I know my limitations. Imprints of generations that I carry in my stride. No one comes into this world free from complications. You gotta find the window so you can bust it wide. Old habits. Old habits. They make you fall asleep when you're awake. Old habits. And they're so hard to break. The song was written during the Quebec City events a couple of years back when the authorities up there, the city authorities, had built a wall around the convention center. Actually, it was a big fence, chain link, a very expensive fence around the convention center so that activists wouldn't be able to get in and disrupt the meetings, you see. And it was designed by an engineer who swore that it would be able to withstand the onslaught of an automobile driven 65 miles an hour directly at it, point blank. The fence would not fall down, which may be true. Who knows? It wasn't up long enough to find out. Because what happened on the first or second day, I think on the first day, was that a human being climbed on top of it and began to rock it back and forth, and it fell over. And so in some sort of slim way, that's what this is all about. We are born of nature, and in nature we will die. Oh, and if we don't make it, it's not because we didn't try. No, it's not because we didn't try. They say they will incorporate the world. Over my dead body, over my dead body, over my dead body, over mine. They have all the money, but we have the will, and I would rather be a match than a paper dollar bill. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. They have the guns. All we are is flesh and blood, but we will multiply our numbers and drown them in our flood. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. They say they will incorporate the world. Over my dead body, over my dead body, over my dead body, over mine. They have all the power, that's what they say, but we will turn those tables, take their power away. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We will not be dissuaded, and we will not turn around. We will face the barricades, and we will tear them down. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. They say they will incorporate the world.
call me a fool. That's all right with me. I will live to see this good round world breaking free. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. They say they will incorporate the world over my dead body, over my dead body, over my dead body, over my. They say they will incorporate the world over my dead body.